Well, welcome to Working Under Pressure, Thoughts on Human Factors in the COVID Age. This is a series of podcasts, and we've already talked about a number of topics related to human factors and working under pressure. Today, we've got Stephen Hearns, who I'm going to introduce to you in just a moment. First of all, I'm Martin Bromley. My late wife died in 2005 during an attempted routine operation. And ever since then, I've been involved in the charity, the Clinical Human Factors Group, promoting an understanding of human factors in healthcare. This is another interview today with a member of staff from the front line about practical actions that we could take around human factors to maintain and improve safety in the COVID age. We're aiming to make it easier for you at the front line to do the right thing, give you practical behaviours and tips that you can use. So let me introduce you to Stephen Hearns. He's worked in emergency medicine in various roles for over 20 years. And he's recently published a book called Peak Performance, which identifies human factors and CRM lessons that can improve performance under stress. Stephen, tell us a little bit about your background and what led to your personal interest in human factors.
Yeah, so I've got three roles which involve performance in high-pressure situations. 50% of the time I'm a consultant in emergency medicine in Glasgow, and the other 50% of my working week is spent with the Emergency Medical Retrieval Service, involved in area medical retrieval all around Scotland. But in addition to that, for the past 20 or so years, I've been a member of Arracher Mountain Rescue Team. I became really quite interested in performance under pressure probably 5 years ago when we introduced badge camera filming in the Emergency Medical Retrieval Service. We started wearing badge cameras when we were performing pre-hospital emergency anaesthetics. The paramedic would film me and I would film them, and we would use that as part of our debriefs. And what became very obvious to me, something I probably didn't have insight into prior to that, was that, you know, a lot of the time if things were going well, then my ability to perform, to lead, to innovate, to communicate was good. But if the patient was deteriorating, or I felt that other members of the team weren't performing as well as expected, then my performance was actually really pretty poor, particularly in terms of my body language, my ability to communicate and to carry out practical procedures. So I really wanted to find out more about human factors, about CRM and the psychology of performance, to try and improve my performance in those situations, and indeed the rest of the emergency medical retrieval team.
So we've been chatting for a while now in healthcare about human factors. Why is it now that some of the ideas and techniques seem so relevant?
When we are dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, I think performance under pressure and human factors are extremely relevant. The pressures that we are facing in the health service throughout the world are unprecedented in peacetime. And for many specialties, particularly in intensive care, the demand versus the capacity mismatch is huge in terms of and that's leading to fatigue. There's often people having to perform against considerable time pressure. There's also the cognitive overload, which has come with this pandemic, with trying to get up to speed on a new disease, with constantly changing and evolving information that we need to gather and process, which is another thing that's obvious to everyone who watches TV, or healthcare providers trying to communicate, trying to provide patient care using very restrictive personal protective equipment. And on top of that, we've also got the emotional pressures that come with COVID-19, of dealing with rapidly deteriorating patients, and also individual healthcare professionals having concern for their own well-being and indeed the health of their families. So it's about the demand, which is leading to fatigue and time pressure, the cognitive overload, trying to operate in personal protective equipment, and the overall emotional pressures of this situation. situation?
The guide we developed talks about identifying a range of non-technical tools and simple kind of hows to support work at the moment. Which are the ones that are really important to you right now?
From my experience of working in the emergency department and with the retrieval service over the past month since the pandemic started in the UK, I think there are three things that are important to me. One is about communication, especially wearing personal protective equipment. It's about the design and the use of cognitive aids, which has been problematic, and indeed performing practical procedures, wearing personal protective equipment, which is considerably more difficult than it normally is.
So you talk about communication. So communication under pressure is always going to be challenging. Why is it particularly challenging at the moment with the PPE?
Well, normally there are about five reasons why communication in high pressure situations is challenging. That there's time pressure, distractions, divided attention, attempting to multitask, working in flash teams and command gradients. Time pressure, particularly when we're dealing with a seriously ill, injured or deteriorating patient, is we tend not to plan what we're going to say before we say it, and therefore it can come across in a confusing or unstructured way. And also time pressure sometimes prevents us from clarifying information which has been passed to us, which can lead to misinterpretation. Distractions and divided attention are a particular problem for us. We can't actually multitask very efficiently, and in complex situations, someone we are speaking to may be trying to carry out a practical task at the same time that we are trying to pass information to them, which again results in miscommunication. And working in flash teams is difficult because sometimes we don't know who we're speaking to. They might have a different mental model. And often people from other medical specialties may have a completely different language and jargon that they use, which is different from ours. At the moment, things are particularly difficult in healthcare for a number of reasons. And I'll even just go back to my experience on Friday working in the red or the COVID part of our emergency department. It's an area that I'm not familiar with. We had to wear personal protective equipment, and the doctors and nurses there, maybe only 20% of those individuals were people that I'd previously worked with. It was people from outpatients, people from theatres, people from medical receiving units. So what really struck me on Friday were the pressures in terms of communication that came from wearing personal protective equipment, the concept of working with a flash team with individuals that are not previously known to you, and ultimately the pressures that come with fatigue as well.
So what sort of techniques then could you suggest to other people that might help to improve communication in the circumstances you found yourself in?
I think there are five different techniques that we could potentially use to improve communication when wearing personal protective equipment. Personal protective equipment impairs communication in a number of ways. Actually trying to identify who we're speaking to can be difficult. Last week, two pre-alert patients came in accompanied by paramedics. I got the handover from the paramedics, and it was only 10 minutes later when they'd taken off their PPE, I realised that they were both paramedics that were well known to me. I hadn't been able to identify them at all. It also impairs communication in terms of explicit communication. We can't actually hear what people are saying very well because our voices are muffled, they're more quiet. And it impairs the intonation that we normally rely on for communication. And then it also impairs our implicit communication. i.e. we can't see what people's mouths are doing, what their foreheads are doing. It's difficult to see what they're trying to communicate with their eyes, and also their body language and their postures impaired, especially if we're wearing theatre gowns. So wearing personal protective equipment compromises communication in lots of ways, both explicit communication and implicit communication. And I think that can be improved using structured briefings before the procedure or at the start of a shift, ensuring that we've got focused attention of the person that we are wanting to receive the information, using closed looped communication to ensure that the person who we are transmitting the information to has received it accurately, having keywords which let the team know succinctly that there's a change in the situation, our actions required, and using repetition for particularly critical pieces of information. One is, again, we see this a lot on TV at the moment, is having your name and what your role is predominantly written on the front of your theatre gown, or wearing a badge so that people know who you are and what your role is. The next thing is actually having structured briefings in the same way that we would have go through a preoperative checklist or briefing, and that's got a number of benefits. It allows people to identify who they are, what their role is. It helps give them a voice later on, especially if the situation starts to deteriorate. We can create a shared mental model amongst the full team in terms of what the team is actually going to do, who is going to do what, and we can discuss actions on roles as well if there are possible adverse events which occur, what we're going to do to deal with those, i.e. pre-planning how we're going to go about a task as a team to make it easier to carry out that task and deal with any adverse events when communication is going to be difficult once we put the PPE on. So a structured briefing is important. The next thing is focused attention and trying to avoid the risks of multitasking and distractions, i.e. Make sure that the person that you are communicating with really is ready to receive the information that you want to give them, in terms of getting their eye contact and making sure that you focus on what you're going to say to them. Okay, so closed loop communication is a communication technique which is very commonly used in the aviation industry. And what it's about is getting the person who you are passing information to confirm that they've received it accurately. So you pass a piece of information to another person and they repeat that information back to you, and then you let them know that they have received the information correctly, i.e. you close the loop of communication. And that's particularly important for critical pieces of information which would be hazardous if they were received inaccurately.
So it's like what we would call a read back.
Yes, absolutely. So you pass information to someone and they read it back to you, and you confirm that they've taken that information on board accurately.
And keywords, how does that work?
Yeah, so keywords, what I found in the resuscitation room wearing personal protective equipment is that on a number of occasions when I've tried to, for example, indicate that we need to undertake a certain task, or the condition of the patient has deteriorated, then that's led to some confusion in the rest of the team partly because they can't see my facial expressions and my voice has been muffled. So it's worth considering developing some keywords which are pre-agreed amongst the whole team. And a keyword is an easily distinguished term which has got a clear meaning to the rest of the team. I like to use a military analogy for that. If a group of soldiers was out in an operation and one of them shouted "contact right," everyone in the group would understand what that term meant, and they would all understand what actions they as individuals needed to take as a result of that keyword. And then the final technique, which sounds pretty straightforward, is simply repetition. Again, if you've got a key piece of information that you want to get across, for example, a drug dose, then you repeat it, and ideally in another form. So for example, if I was saying, I want to give this man 150 milligrams of ketamine, I would say 150 milligrams of ketamine, 150 milligrams of ketamine.
No, that's lovely. Thank you, Stephen. And finally, Stephen, any kind of final quick tips and behaviours that our listeners could use tomorrow, perhaps outside of what you've already talked about?
I really think there is, particularly to get over the problems of communication and flash teams, I think the benefit of having structured briefings at the start of shifts, before pre-alert patients come into the emergency department and before we are about to undertake complex high-risk procedures is really beneficial for communication, for improving patient safety and in improving performance in the team.
Lovely. Stephen, thank you ever so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And we'll be back with another podcast later this week.